If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
As far as I can see. Well, there's a lot You've been listening to Out of Here from Colonel and the Mermaids, a single that dropped back in February. Colonel and the Mermaids is a project from Alex Coford, a Bay Area native who has been toiling for the most part at Phil Lesh's Terrapin Crossroads the last 7 years and has been part of the Terrapin Family Band amongst other side projects. Colonel and the Mermaids is Alex's chance to create his own music, shape his own band's future, and create his own future in the industry and community. That is no small task, but as you'll hear, it's not one that he's taking lightly, and one that he is prepared to invest a lot of time, energy, and money in. We sat down with Alex, who's about to come east for a small tour, and our conversation started when I asked what the sonic aim of the band is.
I don't know exactly how to explain that, but I will say that I like songs. So I like songs that you can stretch out in a live setting, but it all comes down to me being a songwriter and not necessarily like writing anything for the purpose of jamming.
Right.
So I think that's where I come from. I like bands like Wilco and the Mother Hips are a huge influence. California songwriting. I know Wilco's not from California, but basically it just comes down to rock and roll. Good old-fashioned rock and roll.
Right. Yeah. And when you're writing music, you're writing it with the idea that these songs will be jammed out by a five-piece band, right?
Yeah, with no expectation to jam. If the song will let us know kind of if it wants to go down that avenue. But basically just writing whatever I feel or whatever comes. It's hard for me to sit down and write a concept. It really, for me, writing just is a feeling or something that comes out of nowhere. So I don't know when the songs are going to be written, but and I also don't really sit down and think about what I'm going to be writing about. Every now and then a song will pop up that has the potential to jam.
So I know a lot of people either take notes on their phone or carry a notepad around, whether they're writing lyric ideas or recording themselves playing guitar. Is that something that you're actively doing, or do you know that I have a bunch of gigs coming up, we got to write some songs for it? Like, what's that process like for you?
It changes. I'm not constantly jotting things down like some other songwriters I know, but it really is like a feeling that overwhelms me. And a lot of times it can be pretty heavy. Like it comes when I'm feeling either really down or a lot of anxiety or something. And somehow that becomes like my coping mechanism. I just start writing a song. And a lot of times, like if I'm feeling really good and happy and everything's going well, then I really have like a dry spell where I don't write. I don't sit down, lyrics aren't coming to me or anything. So it's kind of when I get into the heavier spaces and I'm dealing with some personal stuff that it almost isn't a choice. It just happens. I just have to, like, I end up sitting down and things just happen, whether it's on a piece of paper or in my phone or on my computer or whatever.
Is it the writing process for you separate? I mean, are the lyrics separate from the melody and the instrumentation, or is that something that you sort of do at the same time?
Most of the time I do it all at once. Okay. When I write a song, it's start to finish pretty much. I mean, there's like little things that change throughout the entire lifespan of the song. But, when I write a tune, it's usually because I've gotten into that headspace and then I sit down and it just comes.
Right. You are primarily a guitar player. You did play drums in a few bands here and there. And once in a while, you know, you play drums with Terrapin Family Band, or you play drums. And I don't know if you still do, but you used to play drums even, you know, at gigs at Terrapin, the bar at Terrapin Crossroads in San Rafael, California. But guitar is still your main instrument, right? I mean, that's the preference.
I don't know that I have a preference. I'm doing some
shows. I've been playing drums, and I will be touring with an artist, Cass McCombs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm playing drums in that. I still play drums with Cosmic Twang when that happens, and I get the call. I just did some shows with Grateful Shred on drums, which is a Dead cover band. I just recently moved down to Los Angeles, so I haven't been in the bar at Terrapin very much lately. I've just been trying to focus my energy on not only like splitting my time between what I've been doing with the family band and going out with people like Cass and whatever pickup gigs I get, but trying to focus a lot on my material and writing and recording, and just it takes so much energy to put out music. That's kind of the hardest part. Like, playing live is easy, but recording and putting it all out and dealing with that whole other side of things is more of a challenge for me. So that's been a lot of my energy lately.
Who is involved in the recording process for you? I think I saw Dave School's comment on something on social media. Is Dave involved in the production of your music, or is he just a friend? Or who's involved in kind of when you go into the vaunted studio to record these songs?
I did a little over a year ago, I did a full session at a studio called Panoramic in Stinson Beach, California, up north.
Yeah.
And out of that session, it was just me, and I kind of produced it myself and brought my band, the Colonel and the Mermaids guys, in.
Yeah.
With a handful of other people like Ross James and Jason Crosby ended up playing on some stuff, and, you know, just the friends that I was around. But I ended up doing a show. Colonel and the Mermaids opened up for Cosmic Twang at the Chapel in San Francisco. And Dave Schools and Neil Casal were on that bill. And I was so excited to get to play my music in front of people that I, you know, looked up to. And so Dave heard that, and that was kind of the beginning of our relationship. He heard the music and reached out to me, and I think he offered any help that he could provide. He liked what he heard. So I ended up sending him the material from that Panoramic session.
Right.
And immediately I think we started working on that song Out of Here that I released in February of this year. And then so Dave kind of became a producer of sorts. And then when the time came, the two singles that I just recently put out,
mm-hmm.
Dave ended up putting a team together. We went to Athens, Georgia, where, you know, he's got a big history with Widespread Panic.
Right.
And we recorded in John Keane's studio with Dave and Dwayne Trucks from Widespread and Jay Gonzalez from the Drive-By Truckers. And then John Keane actually ended up playing some guitar as well. But Dave came on board and he became a producer and actually played on these two tunes. Yeah. And so he's a friend and a producer. And I couldn't ask for a better relationship and friendship.
You're pretty lucky, and I'm sure you know that you have the opportunity to work with people like Dave Schools and Phil Lesh and all of the people that are in the family band, like Ross and Elliot and Graham. I mean, are you ever short on people who you can call to help you when you need some help, whether it's with writing a song or figuring out the instrumentation for a song or a melody? Are you ever short, or are you reluctant to kind of call on those people?
Luckily, because of Terrapin and the way that things developed for me and all those other guys for the last 7 years, there hasn't really been a shortage, and we've all kind of intermingled and played on each other's records. And like, I was in Midnight North for a while. We all played on Ross's record, and so it's never if I feel like I want or need any of those guys, I don't hesitate to ask.
It's kind of getting to the point now where, you know, the Terrapin Crossroads family could probably do a whole festival or a touring festival, not just the Terrapin Family Band, but you could have Midnight North, who I know did some gigs with Twiddle and the Family Band and Ross James's band. And I mean, you could really probably have 5, 6, 7 bands deep of material that you could take out on the road.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. We've actually talked about doing something like that, whether it's just a Terrapin or whatever, but no plans of that yet.
It would mean that all of you would probably have to play a lot of music, right? Like Graham would have to play on Elliot's stuff, and you would play on Ross's stuff, and Ross would, like, you all would be probably really tired at the end. But it's probably pretty rewarding that you A, get to make your own music, but also help your friends make theirs as well, right?
Yep. I think we're all used to kind of playing on everyone's stuff and wearing each other out, so we'd be up for it.
It's really the ethos, I think, of why Phil started Terrapin Crossroads, is to have this burgeoning community of musicians to pass the torch to when you know Phil's no longer able to play, or there aren't as many Grateful Dead touring bands playing, that you know there can still be the Ross James Project and the Alex Coford Colonel and the Mermaid Project and Midnight North and whatever. It's kind of the idea of Terrapin Crossroads was kind of to incubate that spirit, right?
Yeah, I imagine it. I've never been told exactly.
Right.
But does definitely seem that way. Yeah.
You are going out on the road. Your fall tour is coming up, like really close. You will be up in the Northeast. Is there a difference playing your music in the Northeast than it is when you're playing it in the friendly confines of the Bay Area or SoCal? Is there something that you feel is different in the audience when you're playing either in the Northeast versus the West Coast?
There's definitely a difference, and what I've noticed is we've only done it once, so this will be our second time going back. But I did notice that it almost seems like, because we played and spent so much time at Terrapin on the West Coast, and doing that whole, the bar is free, so every time we'd play in the bar, people could come for free. And I think people on the East Coast that don't have Terrapin, and that they're almost looking from the outside in, it's like they're hungry for it. So they see it from the outside and they're looking and it's exciting and stuff. People on the West Coast, it's just we almost oversaturated ourselves. So doing it, maybe it was a personal thing, or maybe other people felt it too, but we played there and spent so much time developing in the bar at Terrapin that it almost felt like people, I don't want to say that they didn't care, but
took it for granted, maybe.
Yeah, almost, maybe.
Yeah.
So when we went to the East Coast, there was an excitement, and part of that is just the New York energy, and you can feel that with whatever music is being played live there. But I definitely felt that it's really nice, and that's why I'm excited and willing to fund going back a second time, and hopefully more and more times, because it just, there's something special about the East Coast.
So what can fans, or what can people who haven't heard Colonel and the Mermaids expect at a Colonel and the Mermaids show? Is it mostly originals? Is it originals and covers? And if it's covers, what types of bands do you cover in your set?
We're getting to the point where we want to do mostly originals. Although on this run, I imagine that we're going to have a handful of people that are coming to more than one, and more likely more shows than they're missing out on. So we're going to try and mix it up every single night, which means that we're going to have to throw some covers in there. But when we do covers, we do some Bobby Charles, which is a great songwriter. I'll pull from anything from like Jane's Addiction to Bobby Charles or the band. So it's really kind of a wide range of things, and it's all based on
our vibe and our style.
Right.
So, and that's kind of just rock and roll, but it's psychedelic and washy, but not in a shoegazy way. Which shoegaze, I don't know if people understand what that term is. But,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's rock and roll in a psychedelic, washed out way without being like indie rock.
Right, right.
Somewhere in between.
Who's in the band? So if people want to check out the band and want to come, is it a regular, are the Mermaids a regular touring band now? And do you have regular members? And if so, who are they?
Yeah, the band recently has been Mike Pascal, who builds Fat Jimmy. He's the Fat Jimmy amp builder. Craig MacArthur, who I have a history with playing in American Jubilee, and he's got his own band, Casual Coalition. Tommy O'Mahony is our newest member. He plays bass, and he's a really great bass player from the Bay Area that we're lucky to link up with. And Dan Luring plays drums, and he plays in a band, San Geronimo, and up north in Northern California. So we all are solidified. It's pretty much a solidified unit at this point.
How often are you going to be releasing new music? So you've released these two singles. You mentioned that you have, from that session, a whole bunch more music. Is it just a matter of timing it so that, you know, releasing albums at this point is probably not a great idea, although you may lead up to that eventually. But are you going to be releasing singles on a regular basis? Like, what's the plan for no new music so that people, when people come to see you, they can check you out afterwards? Or what's the plan with new music moving forward?
I had planned on doing when Dave got on board, he kind of talked me out of releasing albums, at least for the time being. For my first few releases, we decided we were going to do singles and just keep a steady stream coming, which in today's digital age is kind of important to keep. Everyone wants something, you know,
now.
Yeah. So I had planned on every 3 months releasing something, and you know, that was ambitious. And I released something in February, so I guess, what is that? It's almost like
6 months.
It's a little more than 3 months, yeah.
Yeah.
But the plan is to release maybe a few more singles. And I technically have, at this point, like 18, 19 tunes recorded that I'm just kind of sitting on.
Right.
So that's almost two albums. I've got enough material that I can just keep releasing. It's just a matter of funding the releases and making sure that I do it in a strategic way where it's not getting completely lost. But yeah, I will be releasing more soon. And then hopefully a goal of mine is to put out an album.
What else? I mean, this is obviously what you're concentrating on, and moving to LA sort of keeps you away from what's going on upstate. Is the plan to really concentrate on this project right now and sort of the other side projects that you're doing and the other sorts of things? I mean, you got to eat and you got to get paid and you got to do things with, like, play drums for Cass on a tour or be out on the road with Terrapin Family Band. But when you're not doing that, this is the goal, right? To build Colonel and the Mermaids.
Yeah, this is 100% of my energy going into this. Whenever I'm not putting, you know, giving myself up to someone else, this is what I'm focusing on.
Cool.
Yep.
Thanks so much, dude, for taking the time. We really appreciate it. If you will, we'll provide a link at the show page for people to check out tour dates and a link to some of the music that you may not have heard on the show. And Alex, thanks so much for taking the time, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Always a pleasure.
So there you have it. A kid who has been guided under the tutelage of some of the biggest icons in the jam band community, looking to break out with his own project. If the effort, and indeed the music, is any indication, I suspect we'll be hearing from Colonel and the Mermaids for quite some time. You can learn more about Colonel and the Mermaids, including tour dates, at colonelandthemermaids.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to I Do My Best to Keep From Crumbling, the band's most recent release.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.